And welcome to a Friday. My name is Steak SGP. Are you called that often, SGP?
SGP? No, I've never been called that.
Well, what's the initials?
JAP?
Oh. Well, smoking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Smoking. Smokin okay, Patrick. I see.
And that'll SJP.
Be it. SJP. Smokin yeah, I haven't
Joe
gotten
Patrick.
That one yet. But good to be with you, Steak. Finally riding shotgun. You know, it feels like we've come full circle. I've been waiting to talk to you about this because it might blow your mind here.
Yes.
Do you remember when we first met? You probably don't.
I do. I might when you tell me.
The year was 2007.
That is 18 years ago.
In the office of, well, your office at 790 The Zone.
So you're how old?
I'm 38 years old.
No. Back then.
Oh, back then? 17? Well, I don't know. Now I'm trying to put the years together.
No, it's 18 years ago.
I was either, I think I was in high school. It was like my last year of high school, something like that. I was looking for a job, looking for something to do.
Out of high school.
Yep.
Where'd you go to high school?
Blessed Trinity.
Okay.
In Roswell.
Great school. Yep.
And yeah, I was looking to, you know, I was a sports radio listener at the time, was calling it. I was one of those freaks in high school calling in a radio
that.
Show.
Yeah, I was one of those guys
as a kid.
Also.
Yeah. As a kid. So I was just fascinated by the business, wanted to get into it. Cold emailed some people around town, some notable people, yourself being one of them. Yourself being the only one who actually responded to my email, which I did not expect anybody to respond to.
Yeah.
Just a cold email from some kid. You were nice enough to invite me into your office. Where I came and sat down, you rifled through the mail as we talked, which that would show kind of the age period we're talking about here.
Yeah.
I told you kind of my situation, that I was looking for some work, and you yelled for a guy named Matt Edgar, basically, and he came into the office, and he said that I could work on the weekends with another producer, and started working on the weekends, going and grabbing Crystal for people on Saturday mornings, you know how that was. Maybe Sunday mornings, I should say.
Yeah, so that might have been a show with Chuck Oliver. It may have been one of our midday shows. Could have been a game.
Brandon Adams and Jeff Wolverton was one of the shows that I remember.
Yeah, they were doing middays for us.
That's right, yeah. And I got to sit every Sunday and cut Falcons cuts from the legendary Joey Harrington, Byron Leftwich, Chris Redman's season. So
yes.
That was a fun experience.
So
thank you for that. But I feel like we've come full circle finally today.
Wow. That is
How about
a,
that?
That is a great story, and I can share one with you that is my moment like that. But I will say this about it. I'm grateful that I responded because I always try to remember, like, that's exactly how I got in the business. I sent cold letters, cover letters to all these cities waiting for somebody to respond. It was always my dream to be in this seat since I was 8 years old, so that's 50 years ago. And I am always blown away. And dads, tell your kids this. I own stations. I own a company now, but I own radio stations. I was blown away by how few letters I got just saying, can I come say hello? Can I come talk about the business? I'm interested in it. You would think you're in sports that there'd be a ton of people clamoring.
Right.
And obviously, if there had been, probably wouldn't have got back to you as quickly. But what I like about it is how quickly you got hired. Like, okay, you're here. You're in my office. Let's make something happen right away. And that's how it happens.
I literally think I was working the next weekend. And it was like an internship type thing. And those kinds of deals, for I think lots of reasons, don't exist because of corporate structures and things like that.
I think you could not pay people then.
Exactly.
I would say that.
Yeah. It was unpaid. I was fortunate enough where I was in a situation where my parents were basically like, if you go work and work the hours, we will actually pay you a certain amount, you know, an hourly wage basically for however long you're working. So I was fortunate to be in that position to have done that. But it was great. I was just in the next weekend.
Yeah. Well, I love that story. I heard that like Sandra got hired by me. She was a hostess somewhere. Some other guys over there at the other station, literally within a few days. I mean, we were in a different era. We weren't corporate. We could do whatever we wanted. But again, just get in front of somebody and say, and you never know if you're talking to the boss, he can make things happen. I got the name Steak Shapiro from a guy named Eddie Andelman, who is the most famous sports talk show host in the history of Boston. He had a show called The Sports Huddle I'd listened to when I was 10 years old. That's when I decided, it was only on Sunday nights, it was with Eddie, Mark, and Jim. Anybody from Boston knows The Sports Huddle. So Eddie Andelman was my hero. And he didn't talk just about sports. He was this big, heavy Jewish guy. He did a show one year that was just about bread. It's like bulky versus challah versus croissant versus rye sourdough versus, you know.
It's right up your alley,
yeah,
too.
Right up my alley. And I just thought that was fascinating, right, that this guy could talk about food and sports and everything else. And then I was an intern at that radio station, WEEI. He gave me the name Steak because he went to a steakhouse in Minnesota 30 years ago, and the specialty in the house was a place called Manny's. Specialty of the house was Steak Shapiro. Their take in Minnesota was instead of calling it a New York strip, they'd call it a Steak Shapiro because everybody in New York had the name Shapiro, Cohen, whatever. Mm-hmm, it was like, mm-hmm. It was their way of saying most people in New York are Jewish, we'll give it a Jewish name, right?
Yeah.
So he comes back and he's on the air and he says, you don't believe this, they call steaks in Minnesota Steak Shapiro. I'm a lowly producer intern. He starts calling me Steak in the office. I get my first on-air gig, I keep the name. And then it was 10 years later, I'm back home in Boston for something, and Eddie's on a different station, and he asked me to co-host with him.
Mm.
So I'm sitting there with Eddie Andelman in a studio thinking, when I was 8 years old, I was listening to this guy, and I was thinking, like, this is why I want to get in the business.
Yeah.
I think he is still alive there. And his kids actually started a company called Phantom Gourmet, which is what Atlanta Eats was based off of, a show about food and dining and everything else. But one of those moments, not that I was a hero or anything like that, but point being, I got to work with this guy who literally, when I was 8 years old going to bed, I would say, like, this is the greatest job ever. You get paid to talk sports. That's what I wanted to do. And then I'm an intern. I get my name from him. And then 10 years later, I'm co-hosting with him. And that was my full circle moment. So, and the other thing is, if you think you want to be at a company, just find the guy, you know,
yeah.
And just
sometimes it's probably not as hard to, you know, have a conversation as you think. And once you have that conversation, you start a relationship.
It is nowhere near as hard to get to, you know, high level folks as you think. A lot of times it's the middle level folks that are the busiest and it's the high level folks. And if they like you, which obviously I must have, is you must have said the right thing. Like, I listen to you every morning and then, you know. You were put in play.
There's something about the audio platform too, whether it's radio, podcasting nowadays, where it's like these long forms. You spend these long periods of time, you know, with someone basically in like a digital way, and you feel like you really develop a bond. And I feel like we've developed bonds with our listeners here at 929 The Game.
Yeah, so many people that are like, I feel like I know you. When they meet my kids.
Yeah.
Oh, the baby Sophie. How do you like Georgia? I did this. Like, how was that? That was a great thing. How was Barcelona? Like, they're like, Daddy, how do they know all that? It's like, well, they listen.
Yeah.
They've been listening for, you know, I've been here 30 years. You know, the day my daughter was born, Dickie V went on and did a whole thing on a ESPN game, which is still one of the great thrills. Oh, the baby Sophie, born last night.
No kidding.
Like, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Because we were very friendly, and I wish I had that tape, but he did a beautiful thing. The day she was born, the day after she was born, because he used to come on the show all the time. Anyways, thanks for letting me know that. I've worked with, 20 different people over the years. This is our first show together. It's going to be a good one. We'll do our 9 at 9. Nothing good to say about what happened last night. Braves bats, similar pattern. They're ice cold on the road. Their road trip ends at 3-4. They're 4-0 losers to the Mets.
It's just getting worse. It feels like you take one step forward and two steps back, it feels like, with this organization right now.
Yeah. Grant Holmes was pitching well, and then he got himself in trouble, started seeing a lot of guys on base.
Yep.
I think offensively we know that's what the issue is with this team.
Three hits in
this
game.
Yeah, that was about as bad a night as they've had all year.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny. I was watching Peter Moylan saying, normally I have on my left side, here are the positives offensively. He's like, I don't have anything on my sheet tonight.
Yeah,
I don't have
there was nothing.
I don't have one thing.
Yeah.
Phillies have lost three in a row. They scored one run in a three-game sweep at the hands. I think it was the Astros, but they come in tonight. The big problem is, of course, after the sweep of the Mets, you went on the road and you went 3-4. So exactly what you said, one step up and then one step back. I don't know if it's two steps back. It's certainly a full step back. Elder and Mick Abel tonight.
Yeah, you got to, and you hope to get one, because then you've got Spencer Schwellenbach and Spencer Strider on deck the next two nights, which you feel pretty good about, even though the pitching matchups are going to be tougher. But Got to take this one tonight.
Great morning shift today from Echo Park Speedway. Quaker State 400 is going to be happening this weekend. Big race weekend overall.
It's their debut since the new the rebranding of the track there.
What's the weather, Mr. Bo? You'll be out at the ballpark. What are they saying? Bobo. Hot, steamy like
definitely
all week
gonna
long.
Definitely going to be warm. Looking at we make
as bad as this week,
same as that afternoon chance of a thunderstorm.
That's... Yeah, you think so?
Hey, look, we may score another Braves game in a delay.
Yeah,
there's something new.
No pick for the Hawks last night. Second round of the NBA draft. I'm not going to go through the highlights of what might have happened there. Otherwise, we'll be talking about the Hawks coming up in a second. Big moment this weekend. Paris Saint-Germain and Lionel Messi on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz.
Coming to town this Sunday. The European champions, PSG, who just put it on Inter in the finals. So that should be a fun one. And Messi's former PSG player.
And because he's here next to me, SJP, UFC 317 in Vegas. Why are you talking about that steak? Well, because a lot of people care.
Me being one of them, I am hyped. I am hyped for this fight. The two championships on the – or two titles – fights on deck, yeah, including one potentially like next level fighter in Ilya Topuria.
So, are you a UFC guy also, Bo, or not?
I'm more of a WWE guy.
Yeah. Okay.
I like drama.
Yeah. You like storylines, whether they're real or not. But UFC's done a great job there. We'll talk more about that at 10 o'clock hour because I am fascinated with the notion of big cards, big fights.
Yeah.
What I grew up with. I'm 20 years. This guy's a senior, and what you deal with right now. When we come back, though. The Hawks are on the other side of what's being called the worst draft night move in a decade, and not about us. Why there's another way to look at that, and it's not like I want to throw roses to New Orleans. They don't need my help, or maybe they do, but perfect guy to have next to me because another GM was talked about that way in another sport. Why there's a similarity. It's steak. Smoking Joe Patrick. It's a Friday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 9:22. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What do we got, Bo? 9-game homestand? No softball, none of that. You're just dialed in right now for 9 straight days, and then you got All-Star.
Dialed right? in. For Time a lot make- of straight games. Then we got All-Star Week.
You're about to make some coin, bro.
Pretty awesome, too.
You're about to make some coin, right?
I hope so. Because I just had to take a lot of games off for softball. So,
and you don't get paid. I'm joking. Right. You know, coaching 12
no,
hours
a
night.
All I get to do is sacrifice money. But it's well worth it.
I know, of course. I miss my days of all day long coaching my daughter and the whole deal. But, yes, that's called... a 4-point swing, right? What do they say in basketball? You're down by 3.
It's a game of runs.
You miss on one end a layup, and now they go back the other way. That's the 4-point swing.
That's right.
That's a 4-point swing. Not only did I not make the money, I ended up spending a bunch of it because I'm coaching my daughter. That's a big – and now in basketball, it's a 5-point swing because you miss on one end. They hit a 3. Now you're in a 5-point swing. So time to make some money down at Truist. Braves obviously struggle against the Mets. Listen, you know, you have to be able to kind of, and it's not always the case. It's not always the case. But you have to be able to kind of get the energy of a season and be like, no, this is not, you know, there's only so many different scenarios you can overcome. Let's be realistic about who we are. Look in the mirror and know who you are in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that the Falcons last year surprised you a little because they were 6-3, and you look at them and I think we're a pretty good team. But if you looked at those sack numbers, if you looked at the defensive numbers, you started to realize, no, we're not a factor.
Yeah,
like we're just not, and you had to be honest about it. I think it's kind of like with the Braves. When you lose Jerkson Profar, when you have the injury to Strider early, now you got the injury to Sale. When you have guys now going on a couple of years, you realize they're not quite the player we thought they were. You know, the writing was on the wall. Now, a few years ago, you could have said writing's on the wall, and they go on that run, and next thing you know, they win a World Series, and Ronald Acuña's not even there.
Right, right.
So sometimes it surprises you.
Yeah.
But normally, it's not just the back of the baseball card, don't lie. If you watch the ebb and flow of a season, you get a good sense. This is not a championship caliber or even a playoff team in Braves case.
Yeah, and speaking of, you know, knowing who you have on the roster and the team that you have, like that I think is what is most shocking about this Braves season right now. This Braves team was supposed to be one that was competing for a title, you know, right. And they're not even close to making the playoffs right now.
I think in Vegas after the Mets or maybe equal – the best chance to unseed the Dodgers was the Braves.
Right, right.
Vegas was all over them because of Strider coming back, because of Chris Sale, because obviously of Ronald Acuna eventually coming back, getting Jerkson Profar, the pedigree of some of the guys on the roster. But, yeah, it's fallen flat.
And when you talk about knowing the individual players, when you break it down, that roster down to its component parts, like you said, Jerkson Profar obviously surprises you with his, you know, getting popped for steroids or performance-enhancing drugs at the beginning of this year. And then some of the players who have been playing just way below the level that you would have expected.
What's Michael Harris?
Michael Harris, in his last 37 games, is hitting .188. He has a .491 OPS in his last 37 games. That's hard to do. Three walks.
Last night was really ugly to watch them. Sean Murphy can't hit really worth a lick. Ozzy's struggling. We're playing Eli White and Nick Allen guys, in general is playing that you didn't anticipate having to.
Yeah, I mean, look at Ozzy. In his last 25 games, he's hitting .176. With no homers and six RBIs. He was a player when he and Ronald Acuna Jr. were signed to long-term contracts that everybody across baseball was saying was a steal for both of those players. It certainly has proven true to be for Ronald Acuna Jr., and I'm sure the team is right now looking into how we keep him, you know, tied down here for longer because he is, you know, the biggest star, I think, in Atlanta, as we're going to talk about. But Ozzy Albies is looking like a player that won't even get another contract with this team, let alone being a guy that was outperforming the previous deal.
Yeah, and then you start looking at guys that you're having to play on a regular basis. You know, Verdugo started kind of hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, listen, dude, there's a reason he's available and we'll pass spring training.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Red Sox dumped him. Dodgers dumped him. Yankees dumped him. He's got no homers and all those at-bats. He's got 12 RBIs. Like, dude, you're not going to win with that collection out
and
there.
Ultimately, I think the Braves, like, they got what they would have wanted out of someone like Alex Verdugo, which is someone to come in and give them a spark.
But that's a little bit.
Exactly. It was never going to be something that you could rely upon longer term.
Yeah, and spark is relative. I mean, again, no pop for a guy you thought had a little bit of power in him as well. So all that being said, back to the Albies contract or any contract or deal that a general manager makes. And we are in the opinion business, as back to me being a boss back in the day. And one of the things I would say to guys, like, I'm glad you know everything about sports. You're paid for your opinion. You're paid to be entertaining. You're paid to be a storyteller. You're paid to be an entertainer, all those things, right? So we have our opinions on the way things go down. Now, the strongest opinions across the sports talk radio landscape that I've ever heard was the drafting of Michael Penix Jr. after signing Kirk Cousins, which was universally lauded as one of the worst moves in NFL history by a general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Fontenot could not have taken more bullets, more strays, right? And then at the end of the day, it may save the franchise. The wherewithal to say, we may have Kirk Cousins. He is coming off an injury. Big contract, not outrageous for the quarterback, but like if we see a guy that we love, we're going to take him. And if he's a quarterback, that just means we're going to be set at that position and not have Desmond Ridder and Marcus Mariota or whatever it is. And let me just turn to the general manager, Joe Dumars, or the head of the Pelicans, who is taking heat unlike anything I've ever seen. I sent you guys, we'll make a cut of that and play it later, I guess it was, but just everybody from Bill Simmons to the Fox guys, the NBA TV guys, everybody's saying the New Orleans Pelicans literally jumped up 10 picks to 13 and gave up what could be the top pick in the NBA draft next year, which is, by the way, a loaded draft, everyone's saying, one of the best drafts in years. And it's kind of said, not only did they not protect themselves as a top three or four and give Ansi Saleh a credit for, I'm sure they said they want protected And the Hawks must have known that they wanted Derek Queen really badly.
Mm-hmm.
The Hawks must have made it clear, we're going to draft Derek Queen. And the Hawks must have held out until they finally said unprotected, which means Milwaukee without Giannis could be awful if they don't, if they move him. They could be mediocre to bad anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the Pelicans, given the Western Conference, right?
Yep.
So right now we've already decided that New Orleans is absolutely clueless. Let's just say that Jeremiah Fears, who was their earlier pick, where did Fears go?
Oklahoma, I believe.
Yeah, no, where did he go in the draft?
I think seventh, something like
so
that.
So seventh, you go Fears. 13th, you go Derek Queen. You trade for Jordan Poole. You bring back DeJounte. You bring back Zion Williamson. You have Trey Murphy. Is it right now looking like a championship roster or a playoff roster? No. But I would argue the Indiana Pacers were the last team you ever thought would be in the NBA Finals.
Right, true.
And my point is, I don't know, does Zion have a resurrection? DeJounte? If Derek Queen and Jeremiah Fears are the future of New Orleans, and Derek Queen becomes an all-star or a top player, then Joe Dumars did what he set out to do, which is reshape the franchise in one draft with two number ones, Queen and Fears. And just because we say there's a good chance that we end up with a top five pick doesn't mean it's going to be a top five pick. And it doesn't mean even if it's the sixth pick that we get it right. And my only point is, yes, it looks awesome for the Hawks. It looks like you've got two teams that, listen, you didn't get Dallas's pick, right? You didn't get the Knicks pick, who you know are going to be a playoff team and be in the 20s or where they'll probably pick. You get two teams, you get the worst, you get whoever's got the better pick, you get one of their picks.
Yep, yep.
And everybody says Joe Dumars is an idiot. Until we see what Derek Queen and Jeremiah Fears and Jordan Poole and DeJounte and Zion can do, and I would think there's a good chance they don't do a lot, but again, I've been in this business a long time. You do not judge trades. You can judge them because that's what we're paid for, but it will play itself out.
It's great advice from you, Steak, because I'm one of those people who says that, you know, these draft grades, especially when we're talking about the NFL draft, because that's really the draft that carries so much juice and has so much, it holds so much water in terms of the national sports conversation. That's one where it's like, I don't give a damn about what Mel Kiper grades the Falcons draft at. Like, what does he know? And it's not to say that, I mean, I do tend to think that this is going to work out very well for the Hawks, but it's not set in stone. It's certainly not a certainty. I think the Hawks have done themselves well by making this trade anyway, because you mentioned the strength of next year's draft compared to this one.
Yes.
But still, in terms of getting out over our skis, in terms of thinking it's going to be a top five pick, let's hold on.
If we're sitting here, and I think it's in May when they do this, and I think it sneaks up on you, just like when we got the number one pick 2 years ago, I didn't even know that the draft ping pong was even happening. And then someone's like, hey, dude, the Hawks are coming back from a commercial. They're one of three teams left that could get the number one pick. And then I was like, oh my God, we're number one. And then it was like, who the hell is the top pick?
Right.
I've never heard of this guy. The two guys they were talking about was Alexander Sarr and Risa Shea, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I will say this. It'll be sometime in May. It'll be pregame of a playoff game. That's when they do it, before the game. And if we go, oh, New Orleans had a mediocre year. They're picking 14th. But the Bucks just landed at number two. We're going to be like, oh, my God, we got the number two pick in the draft. And let's hope we're coming off a playoff year with Porzingis and Trey and Risa Shea and Jalen and Dyson. And then we can sit there and go, yeah, no matter who we pick it to, we won the friggin' trade. We went from 13 to 2 in a better draft.
I think that's why it feels freeing, because it feels freeing where the Hawks can go all out to win, to build a winner, a team that can go deep in the playoffs, and you still have the fallback of having that first-round pick.
Listen,
that's going to be in a decent position.
Dallas has Anthony Davis and Kyrie, and they just ended up with the number one pick. Now, granted, they trade away Luka. The Spurs, like, they make a habit of just landing number one picks, right? Just, you know, the way the lottery is set up, which is why there's the no tank, right? Or if New Orleans and Milwaukee are both eighth worst, eight, seven, you know, then you're going to have two chances. Let's just figure, of remember, our percentages go up because we got both those teams.
Right.
Whoever's worse.
Two bites of the apple there.
But Joe Dumars may sit back in a couple of years and go, hey, you like Derek Queen and Jeremiah Fears? Listen, you hear what they're calling Derek Queen? Derek Queen? They're saying he's a not-in-shape tweener-type player out of Maryland. So he's already got the Dairy Queen nickname.
Dairy Queen.
To go along with Zion. Let's just say there's a lot of po' boys a lot of beignets, right? But I caution everybody, let's just see how it plays out. And let's root against those teams. And let's root for Giannis to get moved. Let's root for Milwaukee to go in full rebuild mode, right? See what they can get for him. Then we'll have someone to root for.
No doubt.
When we come back, why Ronald Acuna is the biggest star in town, and it's really not even close. It's Stakey, Smoke and Joe Patrick, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Oh, yeah, you went. 9:41. We got plenty of time to sit and have a conversation. Get the Odyssey app and make sure you're listening to us. I know my mom is. Where are your folks, by the way? Are they?
They live in Roswell.
Are they listening this morning? Do they know when you're on hosting prime time?
Gosh,
I
don't keep them up to date on my schedule. They may or may not be listening. I know, since I've started working here, my dad listens to the station, obviously. So
how big a sports fan is your dad? Scale of 1 to 10.
I would say not a ton. He's a guy who's like, he'll watch every Falcons game pretty much, but he's not following the NBA or college basketball or anything like that. He's an outdoorsman, so he likes to hunt and fish and that kind of thing.
So did you grow up around hunting and fishing?
A little bit, but he kind of goes and takes trips to do that kind of thing.
Right.
You
weren't exposed to it much.
Yeah, exactly. So I was actually the biggest sports fan in my household growing up. My brothers never really kind of took to it, even though they're kind of similar. They're very casual sports fans now, but I was like the only one who like played high school football and that kind of thing.
Deep into it.
Yeah.
Bo, Louisiana, how much hunting and fishing was part of your culture growing up around that?
It was a lot of my culture, but not necessarily at home because my dad didn't hunt or fish. But once I met friends and became old enough to purchase, weapons,
how do you live?
Kind of took it up.
How do you live in Louisiana and you don't hunt or fish? Huh?
So in South Louisiana, where rest of my family resides, all my cousins, uncles are all hunters and fishermen. So that's who I grew up around, skinning frogs and squirrels and eating gumbo and good stuff.
Bo knows, we've actually had a conversation with this. The extent of my hunting experience basically revolves around our Thanksgiving traditions, which we already talked about, I think, earlier this week about roasting the whole hog for Thanksgiving because we thought that would be fun.
Do you shoot shotguns. Do you catch the pig?
No, we don't do that. But we go out and shoot shotguns usually on Thanksgiving Day. We basically have a lunch and then we go out, we shoot clay pigeons.
Okay.
There was one year where a squirrel ran out in the middle of the shooting.
Somebody get it?
And so it's kind of like a man's duty. Like, you have to go
Cousin
for it.
Fred, who got him?
Yeah.
Remember who shot him?
It was probably my Uncle Tom. He's the best shot.
So my wife's family in Lafayette, I've talked about this, Bo. They have a full camp.
Hey, you've gone down there, right?
Which is Mac Daddied out the dorms. But they have full crawfish farm. They have wild pigs on the property, which you can see remnants of. You go out in one of those four-wheelers, and you can – they have everything. They got deer stands. They got duck hunting. They got wild boar. It is a massive property. So fun.
Yep.
It was a hoot. And I know most people think I'm from Dahlonega, but no, I'm actually from the Northeast. I know. When you send the pictures home with Bobby, Sophie, Nola, got the guns, got the fatigue, on property, in the Jeep, ATV. My mom, Steven, what's going on? What's going on down there?
What's gotten into you? So this Thanksgiving, this particular Thanksgiving, with this poor squirrel runs out in front of a bunch of loaded guns, it gets shot. But then you can't just shoot an animal and just leave it there. Like, you've got to properly take the thing, bring it home, and
good for y'all.
Yeah.
No, that's so not we had a some very big squirrel meal, stew. One squirrel,
we had some squirrel stew that we all we had to each take a bite and like try to not puke.
Yeah.
Why would you puke?
What squirrel? What's just thought of it? What squirrel tastes like? Is it like?
Oh, it's great. Like dark meat chicken.
A little
chicken.
Tough though. Nah. Oh, it's dark meat chicken.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I
moist,
remember you
had
to
moist.
Cook it for a while. You kind of had to like slow cook it, basically, in like a crock pot.
We would always eat it in gumbo.
Okay.
So you would literally have a pot of gumbo on the stove at my grandmother's house. Every time we would go down there, every time, and there's squirrel legs to stick. So you get you some gumbo, oh, get you a couple legs, and you stick them. Oh, yeah, man.
A little gamey. But if you prepare it properly, Bo, I mean, like we were just doing it with some carrots and onions, you know, just the mise en place.
It's all about, there you go. Hey, we were thinking about Ronald Acuna, and just to switch gears here. And you know, he will be the babe, he will be the bell, I should say, of the ball. For All-Star Weekend. If I were to say to you, first of all, he's the biggest star in Atlanta sports. Like, it's not even close. He's a top three player in Major League Baseball, right? Are there three players better than Ronald Acuna in baseball? There's Otani, who hit his 28th last night.
Right. Yeah, he's ridiculous.
He's just beyond. Okay, so.
And, I mean, Acuna is similar. I mean, Acuna can get similarly hot.
He's over
500. He's just crazy hot.
He's crazy hot since he's been back. His first pitch he hit out, he's over 500 in on-base percentage since he's been back, which is crazy.
That's insane.
I think he's been on base
like Barry Bonds.
Over 50 times since he's been back.
Unbelievable.
There is Juan Soto, who's not having a great year, but would you take Juan Soto or Ronald Acuna, right? But, I mean, like, he is elite talent in the history of the franchise, one of the elite talents in all of baseball. He's the biggest star here. The only ones you could compare him to is, well, Michael Penix isn't a star. Michael Penix is not even a top 100 player in the NFL, right? Bijan, I would imagine when they have the top 100 players, he'll be top 30, 25, maybe, you think, or not?
I think maybe Depends he takes a little lands. Falcons hit, and maybe they say, top 50, hit. We'll say. But, yeah.
Yeah, he's still got a lot to prove. Obviously, Drake London will be a top 50, maybe.
He should be. I mean, he should. Yeah. Some people have not even had him nearly as high.
But my point is, this Trey Young is not a top 20 in terms of how he's perceived.
Right.
Like, this is, he's clearly the biggest star in this town, right? He's the guy that when you're there for this 9-game homestand, every at bat, if you're there, right, you're going to be making sure you're around because Acuna's up.
No doubt.
Hey, Acuna's coming up. I gotta watch.
He's got a personality as big as his.
No doubt, who
he is as a player.
He has the flash. I don't think it's too much flash. I think it's respectful but joyous the way he approaches his game. I think he loses a little juice because he wasn't on the World Series team, right? So Freddie's a bigger Brave all time because he's got the title and he had more years. Chipper also has a title, but it was, you know, he wasn't integral, right, when they won that World Series.
Yeah, he was still very young at that point.
Right, so I think it's his second year. So, like, Chipper just has the longevity, but, like, biggest stars in Atlanta sports history. Now, Acuna also just starting to speak English. I'm just talking about the brand overall.
And
who's the biggest sports star in Atlanta sports history? I didn't say the greatest player. Who's the biggest star in Atlanta sports history?
So I know when this conversation comes up, Deion comes up a lot as a Falcon. And it's interesting because for me, so he left the Falcons either after the 94 season or before, right around
there.
I
think he did four seasons.
I actually looked it up. It was 5 seasons. And it was surprised me because I moved to Atlanta as a kid when I was in 94. And that's really when my sports fandom took off. So I don't really have any personal memories of watching Deion at that time. So I kind of have to just go off of what other people say. But, I mean, that's the kind of star power we're talking about that I think Acuna has because of who he is kind of on and off the field. There's a phrase, I'm a soccer fan, there's a phrase in soccer called expressing yourself on the field. Like, as a player, you express yourself when you play. And I feel like Acuna is one of the few baseball players that's actually able to express himself in just the way he plays the game because the game is so structured.
Yeah, and I would say the spontaneity and joyous. He's going to get under people's skins. A, gets under your skin because he has some antics, but not obnoxious, not showing guys up. And he also is so good, right? You know, that's why you have to protect Ronald Acuna. If you're the Braves pitching staff and you see them mess with Ronald, that has to happen, and Snit has to demand that. But if I'm talking about the biggest star in Atlanta sports history. Listen, Matt Ryan is the most accomplished player. Maybe you could argue. Well, listen, Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavine are all Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ryan may not be a Hall of Famer. It'll be close. But none of them had their entire career, and Matt didn't either. So I don't know. Is Tom Glavine a bigger star than Matt Ryan was? I don't think so. You're the quarterback of an NFL team.
No, right, right.
No. So right. I'd say Michael Vick's the biggest star.
That's a great call. Yeah, it depends on what your definition of star is.
I know. That's the beauty of what we do. It's like, mm-hmm. It's subjective, right? We could sit here at a bar and say he's the biggest star, and you could say he's not even the best quarterback we ever had. He's actually not even the top three best quarterback. If you're going to say Matt Ryan was one, Barkowski was two, I don't know. I mean, Chris Chandler's not really three, but he did take you to a Super Bowl.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, it's not like it's a litany of great Falcon quarterbacks in history. But just the word, the biggest star. The biggest star now is Ronald Acuna. Who's the biggest star of all time? Chipper Jones. So let's say a star is he walks into a, he walks into an Applebee's. In Jonesboro,
right.
Who would cause the biggest stir?
Yeah,
I think Chipper Jones and Michael Vick are right up there.
Yep, for sure.
I think Chipper Jones and Michael Vick.
Those two, for sure.
Yeah, I think people are still like Chipper Jones has that kind of boyhood idol when men meet him now.
Yep.
And they watched him for so long.
Yep, they hang on his every word. I know we do. Like when he was on with you just a couple weeks ago, I'm like, you know, I'm just sitting
That's
there
Chipper.
Like you can't wait to hear what he says.
Yeah, like Chipper watches all his kids' games from down. It's not, you know, some parents do that because they get too nervous.
Right.
Or they don't want to hear the mommies. He does it because he'll just get stopped constantly.
Yeah.
And, you know, him at a baseball field, that's Chipper Jones. Like, you know, and he's incredibly gracious and nice guy. But it's like, so, you know, we got Ronald Acuna in his prime right now. And where will that play out? Now, none of these guys were integral in bringing a championship, and there haven't been many championships, right?
Right.
So the biggest star in the Braves championship from recent was Freddie Freeman, mm-hmm. even though he didn't win MVP of the series or whatever.
Right.
He's the iconic player on that team.
Yeah.
And Dansby again, but Dansby's not even close to as good as Freddie.
And you brought up those three Braves pitchers, you know, the Glavine, Smoltz, and Maddox. But, you know, I don't know if any of them are maybe truly stars. I think actually Smoltz is probably the biggest star, at least in Atlanta, from those teams, just considering the longevity and, you know, all the things that he did.
Hank Aaron is probably, biggest.
That's a great call.
Hank, Chipper. Again, if Hank Aaron walks into an Applebee's in Morrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are going to lose their mind like they would with Mike Vick or Chipper Jones. Like, mm-hmm. this is what we talk about with stars.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a big deal that Ronald's back and this good and in the All-Star game and in the Home Run Derby and all that. And sports cities are built on their stars.
Yeah.
And
the Home Run Derby is built on stars, you know? And I think that he's the
star
perfect
power.
Personality for that event in particular.
Is Pete Alonso in it, I assume, like always, or not?
I would imagine he will be. Nobody else has committed yet, so we're still waiting on seven names.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Alonso seems to thrive on it. It means a
Who
ton
wants
to
some?
Him. Yeah. So, but I mean, think about the towns you grew up in. Like, I grew up in Boston. It was built on their stars. Bill Russell, Ted Williams, Bobby Orr, Larry Bird, Tom Brady, David Ortiz, Ray Bourque. Like, these are legends.
Few.
Yeah. I mean, and not to be obnoxious, but like the city was.
No.
That defines the city.
And when you win championships, that builds legends. You know, that builds these guys' star power.
Yeah. I mean, if you have David Ortiz and Tom Brady, who won, I think, 9 titles between them in like a 12-year run.
Yeah.
And David Ortiz was in the middle of every one of them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, one of the absolute, like, that guy's a designated hitter, and he's like the biggest star. Anywhere he walks into.
He's similar to Acuna in this respect.
If he walks in somewhere in Billerica, and that's big pop, and he's got the great nickname.
Yeah, yeah.
Ronald doesn't have the great nickname.
La Bestia, it hasn't really caught on.
Like, Big Poppy helps the whole brand, right?
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Totally.
It's like, it's just, it builds the whole aura around it as well. Anyways, I don't know if you want to comment on that. 404-726-0929. And if you're a transplant, is there just one undeniable, like Jim Brown in Cleveland, you know, it kind of feels like, even though that was, 60 years ago, you know, like that name, you know, when he was alive, Jim Brown is Cleveland sports. Mm-hmm. You know,
totally.
I'm trying to, well, obviously LeBron, but Jim Brown, I think, plays his entire career there. Mm-hmm. So if you talk about, you know, who's the all-time New York? If you think New York, who's the biggest star in sports in New York?
I mean, the name that comes up, first name that comes up for me is Babe Ruth, honestly. But I don't know.
Derek Jeter.
That's kind of pre.
Yeah, Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter is a great one. Yeah, for sure.
Nobody really on the Mets. I mean, Gooden and Strawberry is not enough of it, right? Yeah. Nobody on the Knicks, Willis Reed, Walt Frazier, that ain't going to work. Islanders, nobody knows enough about them. So.
Reggie Jackson?
Joe Namath.
Maybe.
Yeah, Reggie. Although Jeter's bigger than Reggie, but that's a good one. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. There's nothing better than a Saturday night doing this. Hey now! We'll explain when we come back. Sports Radio 929 a game.